KJLO 1690 AM. You're listening to Grade A Explosives. Are you listening to Grade A? Yes, you are. Of course you are. Because you have a deep love for this show, and I have a deep love for you. Do I? Maybe. Just guess. You can guess. That sounds good. Well, that'll be the what we're going to do here. What you just heard was some commercials. Those aren't very exciting. But before that, you heard what is probably my... can I say my favorite of all time? Probably my favorite of all time industry plant band president. And I will not change my opinion and say that they're not an industry plant band. Because a band that releases no music and gets on the largest... largest rock slash metal festival in the UK is definitely an industry plant. There is no way you can argue that around it for me. How can you? Explain to me how it's not. I would love to hear it. And before that, a non-industry plant in that he is doing all of his stuff exactly himself, including his own touring. Gab de la Vega, who is going to be going on his Quebec tour, and I promised you I would tell you where that's going to be. So, you know what? Let me look that up really quick, and I can tell you where he is going to be coming up here in the next couple days as he starts on his Quebec tour. He's going to start in... Oh, actually, he's off... is going to Cornwall on the 2nd, and then Quebec City on the 3rd, Trois-Rivières on the 4th, Thetford Mines on the 5th. My goodness, that's not something I say very often on this show. And then Sherbrooke the 6th, and Ottawa 7th, and then out west, so nowhere around here. So if you are around here, you have a couple of days that you can catch him. With a car, of course. Yeah, there we go. There, okay. Now, but we've gotten all of that out of the way. Pardon me, that was gross. I'm sorry, everyone. But sometimes, live radio just works that way. Let's talk with someone from here in Montreal who has a band, Hate Stinger, who I got to see at the Vakken Battle of the Bands, which I know I don't want to spoil anything for all of you, but in case he doesn't know, the Hate Stinger did not win that.
Nope.
Spoiler alert, everyone, but I'm joined here by Olivier. I'll let him reintroduce himself in case you missed it at the first part of the show. So tell the people who he is and give us a brief rundown of, you know, Hate Stinger and, you know, I guess other bands that you want to talk about, too, if you want. It's up to you. You're the man here.
Hey, guys. I'm Oliver from Hate Stinger, frontman, lead guitar player. It actually started out as a solo project in 2023, where the main challenge was to start my studio work, actually doing mixing and mastering. So I did the first album pretty much all by myself, except for the mastering and the session drummer who laid down the drum tracks for me. And I started my studio business, my mixing mastering business from there. It's called Heartband Studio, and I remotely work with artists who can usually record themselves, and then they send me the multi-track. And I've been doing that for about 2 years, and Hate Stinger was kind of like the project that started it all for me. Now, I got some other musicians with me. I got Pascal Langevin on drums and Serge Jofik on bass guitar. So we do some live stuff, but I'm still the main composer. I still do the mixing, mastering, and stuff. So yeah, pretty much. I've also been playing in Citizen Vicious alongside with Pascal, same drummer, since about 2016. So a little bit more than 10 years.
Damn. All right.
So that's pretty much it for now. I got like three music projects.
Only three here in Montreal. That's like a light amount that you have here.
Yeah, but it's still my second, third year.
That's true. Okay. That's fair then at that point.
Yeah.
So I guess then it's safe to say, like, well, when you started Hate Stinger, you wanted to record it to get kind of like practice, but did you think that you would advance it beyond that initial thing, or were you just thinking like, I need to practice this, so I'll just go in, I'll write some stuff, and then that will probably be the end of what I'm doing here?
So basically, I started studying music production in 2020. Mm. So it's has been like a growing interest. I first bought my first sound card, you know, to send tracks from my home to my band so we can work abroad. But now it was just growing, you know, so I developed an interest for mixing. I developed an interest to work with artists and stuff, the techie side of things in production. So yeah, Hate Stinger, I started recording, you know, the first EP in about 2021, 2022, and it finally released in October 2023. I launched my studio 2-3 months after that, and now the second EP just came out 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
3 weeks. 2 weeks ago. Oh,
yeah.
Weeks ago.
May 14th, it came out. Yeah, it's called Led by the Curse. It has 5 tracks. It's rooted in thrash metal, but has a modern, groovy side of things. Even the title track, it sounds a little bit more black thrash. I like to explore, you know, other areas while keeping the main focus in thrash.
Do you think that it's kind of where you're going to stay? Because I find that a lot of times with not one-person bands, because now you have a three-piece around you, but I find that a lot of times when you have like a main composer for a band and they're kind of like the core of it, it can sometimes go in either... It can either stay exactly where it is, like... Perfect example are like one man black metal projects. Like they're not moving anywhere. They're going to be a black metal
or
project.
Just Motorhead, Slayer.
Yeah. Or you have a band like something like more like Nine Inch Nails, right? Where each album is kind of in a similar vein, but is different. Like you can tell like which era it kind of comes from. Do you have an idea of where you want Hate Stinger to go in the future, or have you not even like really given that much like of a thought?
Of course, yeah. I'm trying to align with what people like.
Hmm.
Not too much. Just in the arrangement-wise, you know, and structure of things. But if we're talking about the exact style of composing, style of metal, I think I'm very comfortable in that. It's very intuitive when I compose, you know, that way, those kinds of riffs, the kind of aggressivity, the thrash metal, you know. So I think that's deeply into the Hate Stinger sound, and that's not gonna change.
Mm.
But I like to, you know, touch to other styles of metal just so it's not all the same kind of like Motorhead and Slayer. I love those bands, but I like to try different stuff, but keeping the same sound, same composition style, you know.
Yeah, I mean that's. Yeah, that's. I guess that's true. There is a third way to kind of go about it, where you just kind of stay in the lane, but you veer into the opposing lane or the other way as it goes. Like, but you're still within this lane of traffic, if that makes sense. As a
kind
comparison.
Of a hybrid side of things, you know, where I want to explore, but I don't want to change the route of the style, you know.
Yeah, I'm so binary in my thinking. I really need to get out of that. I'm asking a lot of questions of bands lately. They're like, is it this or this? Because that seems to be the way bands break down. But then I don't leave room for a third option, and that's not right.
Yeah, but that's ours to explain it to you.
It's true, I guess. That's true. I the more complicated I make the questions, the harder it is for people to answer, too. So I have to skirt the fine line in between.
Yeah.
I have to stay in the lane of traffic where I swear for the things.
But at the same time, we're not in the 80s anymore, so we got to bring something more to the table, you know.
Well, if we're talking about more things, I was just on posting about you coming in here, and I noticed that at least when I looked on your Bandcamp, you don't have a lot of social media presence listed there. Is that a conscious decision, or are you just like a conscious decision as far as I don't want people like to engage with this yet? Or is it more something that's like I just don't want to deal with social media?
You mean the Bandcamp or social media as a whole?
On the Bandcamp and then looking for social media. I didn't see any listed. And usually that's like the first thing that bands will put up there. Like it's like we right underneath there to see what else they've got going on.
Okay. Well, actually, we're growing on Facebook pretty much. We started doing live streams of our jams, and I think it's a good thing, and we're going to continue with that. We're going to carry on with that. So Instagram is a little bit slower, but I'm a little less familiar with Instagram, you know, so it's getting there. Other than that, I'm pushing a little more Spotify because it's more organic, reaches more people naturally. I'm trying to figure out, you know, the the algorithmic side of things, playlisting and stuff.
Good luck.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just, you know, promotion, post-release. But I know Bandcamp is the main source for indie artists, and it's pretty much the best option. I'm trying to figure that out as well. But we have a short link for now that is pretty much on our Facebook, Instagram, okay. You know, to get some quick quick updates and stuff. And I actually bought the domain hatestinger.com, so it's coming up too.
Okay. Because I was looking... Facebook is crap. Everything is crap now as I try and search for things and have to do, like, all these manipulations to my search in order to find them. Like, what? Let's not get in. Let's focus on you, not my gripes about the world. We were talking a bit... actually, let me go back to this social media thing, because, like, when I originally posted this, I was like, I am not readily finding a social media for them. I'm very envious of that. I'm wondering, as someone who is, you know, kind of in a band, it's kind of required you have to do social media. And, you know, as someone who does a radio show, I grudgingly interact with it. Do you feel like it is, like, we are past a point where, like, you can't have a band without social media anymore? You can't have any, like, it feels like you can't do much of anything without it anymore.
Yeah.
Are we, do you think that's like a permanent state of affairs we've now reached at this point?
For up and coming bands, for sure. And for bigger bands, even more. Yeah. Because it's just, you know, sometimes the Black Mirror side of things, you know, you post an event, you get a lot of attendance, and sometimes it's just an estimate and the real show is totally opposite, or sometimes it gives you an idea. And, so I learned for myself that it's not, you can't, you know, rely on that too much. You know, the as for attendance for maybe an event. But at the same time, you know, social media gives you presence, it gives you credit. It's mostly, for the most part, it's about my studio that I found the best results, you know, because... Yeah. Showing your face, making videos for people to just scroll their phone and see your face, see you storytelling, explaining some stuff. It creates sometimes, you know, they're confident about your work. They know exactly what you do, so they're kind of pre-qualified to work with you. They're not as careful, or they know exactly what you do and they want to do business with you. But for a band, you know... they see the action, they see the shows, they see... I feel like it's a little bit that way too for bands, yeah.
That's interesting because, you know, for the longest time, I have thought about... Like, I get sent a lot of emails about promo things, and I'll get things like, watch this playthrough of a song. And I'm like, why do I want to watch a playthrough of a song? But that is an interesting point that I had not considered, that, like, you are... It is kind of showing off a sort of... technical proficiency to other people to be like, look, I can actually do these things. Like, this is not some sort of like, and as we get more into more of an AI world, that I think is going to get even more important as we go.
Yeah, it's subconscious, you know, that's just how the algorithm works. It shows you again and again and again the same content you just reacted to. So, yeah.
I don't know. I've asked a lot of bands this, and I'm interested to know kind of what you think, since we're on the topic of social media. The thing that I think that is the worst about social media, as for when it comes to bands and not the destruction of our entire society and world, is that I actually don't know if it's good that we know all of these things about all these bands, because, like, I really, before I started looking into them, I was a very big fan of the Misfits, and now I'm a fan of the Misfits' music, but as far as they go, they're all just the worst, like, the worst people, and it's hard to kind of reconcile sometimes that dichotomy of there are bad people that make great art, and I have trouble separating art from the artist. I don't know about you, but is that something that you kind of miss, the mystery of... like a band and maybe having to like dig for it? I don't know if that's something that you had to do. I had to do that for sure. But
Firstly, I was born in 95, so okay. Internet was not too too far after that. But yeah, I'm guessing there used to be journalists and stuff that were scrubbing for stuff like that, and now artists may be, you know, burying their own self with making a post too political or something.
Yep.
So that's the way I see it.
Which is a weird way to kind of approach anything. We're in such a weird world. I don't like it. Don't like it.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about you and music. When you go into writing a song, I know it's, for most bands, they'll go and they'll like spend time with each other jamming or do trade to inspire each other. What do you kind of do to inspire you as a main composer for the band? What kind of, do you just sit and like, do you like just noodle around on guitar? Do you listen to stuff? What's kind of your process like for writing?
I just play guitar, play some riffs, try to align them with each other. It's not my favorite part, actually, because...
Oh, interesting, okay.
Yeah, I might write a good riff, but how will it get arranged into the song? It's always second-guessing, replacing stuff. Oh, this might be better, this might be better, and then you think you got it. You listen to it a few times, oh, no, I might just, you know, twist it around again, and that's not my favorite part. The result is very satisfying, but... And yeah, pretty much it's me who writes everything. I come up with ideas. So I'm open to the ideas from my bandmates, but you know, I keep it straight with the Hatestinger direction. You know, my bassist really like industrial music.
Mm, good call on his part.
Yeah. So sometimes our opinions don't always align, but we are two very open-minded and easy to work with people. So it's fairly easy, yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. What is your favorite? I mean, you said the end of it, but what is your favorite part then if it's not the writing of it? There.
Maybe the mixing, the creative creative aspect of mixing. After the structure is done, after you got your rough mix going... Like adding all the effects and somewhat the maneuvers that keeps the listener, you know, engaged. For example, maybe starting the song in mono and then it opens up after the intro. Some tricky phaser things on the drums and, you know, some little mixed tricks. That's always fun. That's pretty much why I specialize in mixing. But... recording is fun. I like recording too.
Man, you really are teched in here. Now, I heard you say this started during 2020. Does that mean that Hatestinger is a pandemic project that has come to be, or were you going to do that and the pandemic just happened to happen at the same time?
No, it was kind of spontaneous.
Okay.
So yeah, we could say that it was born in the pandemic.
So Hatestinger is your sourdough bread.
Yep, if you want to call it like that, sure.
Well, I mean, this is definitely it's definitely harder for people to take a starter sourdough and work from it. You said that the new EP is out. What have people been saying about it? What kind of reaction have you gotten from people?
Well, we've been releasing singles of this EP since last November. The biggest reaction was for the first single, because we shot a video clip for it, Hate at First Sight, and it's also the opener of the EP. Great reactions, actually. It starts off with a very ripping kind of lead intro, but after it goes, you know, lower as a riff, but same kind of notes. So I think it's fairly, you know, gripping as a first song. I think it's the best on the record. And it evolves kind of into a melodic parts. And it's not the same song that... It's kind of a little bit progressive without falling into the prog genre.
Mm.
So, yeah. And going into the second song, Ride My Wind is actually pretty classic thrash song.
Mm.
And then we go into the title track, Led by the Curse, which has a little bit slower atmospheric intro, a little bit of black thrash vibes. And then we go into Twist Your Fate, the fourth song, a little bit more hardcore, with a very heavy part at the end. It's a song about religion. And then there's a cover to wrap that up. Pantera cover. I'll let you find which song it is.
Yeah, everyone, why don't you go into the Hate Stinger Bandcamp, hatestinger.bandcamp.com, and you, too, can look at what that is. Why not? You should. I'm telling you, you have to. There, that makes it so they have to.
For sure.
Yeah, that's how media works, right? When someone says something, then they have to do it. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Oh, yeah. I think we gotta keep people curious.
It's true. See, that you're a media person. Yeah, I see this. I see someone who would say, got to keep people curious. Those.
Yeah, you know, in my learning curve, I started with the mixing stuff, then the band stuff, and now I'm into marketing stuff.
I'm becoming a multifaceted weapon, Andrew. You have no idea. But I've heard that people that do the tech stuff hate, like, absolutely hate all the marketing things. Is that you too?
Yep.
yep.
I'm guessing, well, I'll be better at it, and then maybe it will get more enjoyable. But yeah, the salesperson in me is not too too fan of this kind of work. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question that might be that's less about the band, more about you, because I'm always interested in what people like. You just mentioned, like, as I get better at it, perhaps it will become more enjoyable. Is there something that you absolutely hate doing, but you're very good at it? Like, for me, that's like doing things with numbers. I hate doing math and numbers, but mm-hmm. I find I'm very good at it.
Yep.
So, like, I do it out of necessity, but, like, I hate doing it. Hate it.
Yeah, for sure. Editing in studio. When you receive the tracks, you want to make them align and stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm good at it, but I'm not sick of it yet. But okay. Every engineer is got sick of it. Every old engineer is now, they don't do that stuff anymore.
No. That's not. Someone else could do. Yep. I understand. As someone who edits these shows, it's very tedious.
Yeah.
especially the more you do interviews. Because then, and I imagine that translates too to music, because you want it to sound as good as possible for someone else listening. And so you're going through, well, I'm going through hearing like, oh, there's too much of a breath there. Gotta lower that. Oh, there's somebody's said too many ums. Gotta get rid of one of those.
Yep. And the tricky part is when mixing, during the revisions of that mix, you know, there's, I tried to make some steps, you know, so we don't go overboard with the 10th fucking round of revisions, you know, and I also gotta keep the client happy with what he wants. Yep. Exactly in his mix. So that's a part where we're not wrong and we're not right. It's all subjective. Yep. You know, so dealing with that is, I'm getting better at it, but it's a tricky part and it's not for everyone.
You mentioned that you're trying to like get more like knowledge, I guess, or trying to hammer down Spotify a bit more specifically. I'm always curious as to bands and their kind of thoughts on Spotify, because on one hand, yes, you can get out to everywhere in the world. On the other hand, you're only like making any money, and by that I mean like a penny, after you get like 5,000 streams and then you only make another penny.
Yep.
10,000 more after that, or whatever they've decided now is the thing. Where do you fall on, I mean, obviously you're working with it. Is it a necessary evil? Is it a good? Like, where do you fall on that spectrum?
I don't worship Spotify. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a reality, and we gotta compose with that. We might hate it all we want, but it's still there, and it's still the one of the biggest platforms, you know? Mm. And people are often, you know, surprised that they pay more than YouTube, actually.
Interesting.
And the royalties, you know, the 0.000.
Yeah.
Looking at the charts, there's a like, bit less zero in Spotify than YouTube. But, of course, Bandcamp is the best for bands to expose their music and stuff. I'm just currently learning about that, you know. It's just about laying down the roots for an up-and-coming band. We would like to tour a bit more extensively in 2027, so I gotta lay down some foundations for that.
Yep. Well, speaking of touring, I know that we were talking a bit off air here, and I said I would hold this because it might be interesting to go. But you know, when I was program director here, I'll refill here on the backstory so that everyone else knows. When I was program director here, I would tell people that they should do an intro for their show because it gets you in the mindset of doing a show.
Yep.
And so I understand why bands have like an intro track to start off, but I find they break a lot, and then that usually makes things problems. Is there anything that you do either in Citizen Vicious or that you've started doing with Hate Stinger as like a, all right, it's time to get ready, time to get out there, time to play this show? Like anything you're doing to like get hyped up or?
Yep. I usually slap my face until I cry and then I'm ready. No, actually not. I started experiencing more stress before the show with Hate Stinger than I used to with Citizen Vicious.
Oh, interesting.
Citizen Vicious is more like a party band, and I don't have as much responsibility. Hate Stinger, it's being a frontman is a new thing that I haven't experienced too much before. So there's that. But
well, how do you like it?
I learned to enjoy it, okay, for sure. Right. Yeah, it's getting better and better, and I feel like it's more easy getting into it when people are energetic and not playing to an empty room.
Right, of course.
When you're playing to not so many people, it's kind of, I'm kind of more stressed, you know, I'm kind of, how will I fill the air, you know?
That's interesting because like, I've also heard people go that a low pack show or low attendance, there we go, low attendance show. Yeah, I'm speaking hard with my face. Anyway, the low attendance shows are kind of like a throwaway show, so you can experiment with more things to go.
I don't like doing a lesser show because there's less people. Mm. I don't like doing that, but you know, because there's always the side of thing, you try to not make it very obvious that there's not much people,
right,
and you try to give the best show, but not acting like there's a full crowd, you know. But, you know, it happens to everyone. I spoke to some big band, you know, we played with the Chemicide from Costa Rica recently, and the frontman was like, man, we played for some shows where the venues were literally empty. And, you know, they're opening for Havoc right now in South America, so...
Man, I guess every band kind of has to go through those, like... It's a rite of passage, I guess, to get, like, through the low attendance shows.
Yeah. I don't get too bitter about it. It's part of the game. It's just a shame. If you're the one promoting the show and, you know, there's some bad luck sometimes, we just had the, you know, the hockey... playoffs, yep. You know, so when it's the same evening as your show, it's a bummer sometimes. Yeah. But
you mean that when Montreal's in the playoffs, people don't pay attention to basically anything else?
I haven't realized how much it affects everything.
Everything's crazy, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, let's play a track off of this EP, and then we'll play some ads, and we'll come back, and we'll round out this hour.
For sure.
Sounds like a plan. What would you recommend that I play? I mean, I know you've listed off all of the tracks and kind of what they feel like, but what would you say is kind of the best representation of Hate Stinger that I can throw on for people?
Hate at First Sight, for sure. Right. There's a music video on YouTube for that.
There you go, everyone. Go on to the YouTube Hate Stinger, just Hate Stinger for
Hate
YouTube
Stinger or? YouTube
okay.
channel.
I mean, you never know. Like people are adding little things on the end. Hate Stinger band, Hate Stinger metal, Hate Stinger, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah, as long as it's not your email address from when you were 13.
All the numbers 69420, baby. Well, let's listen to some Hate at First Sight here. If you'd like, you can go and try and sync the music video to this if you have your computer open and want to do that. You can. I don't know why you would want to. I just have the song right here for you. There's no need for you to do anything else, but you can.
It's always an option.
I mean, as an engineer, that might be something you're like, oh, that's a good challenge. I might want to say. But no, everyone. Here, enjoy some Hate Stinger here. We'll stop talking for a bit, and then you'll hear some ads, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more. That's a good plan, I think.
For sure, man.
Sounds good. Here's some Hate Stinger, Hate at First Sight off of Led by the Curse. Go to hatestinger.bandcamp.com for you to go and download this all. For you to enjoy at your leisure. Yes. Sounds good. Keep it locked. CJLO 1690 AM.
track.